Due to the content of this interview, the following program may not be suitable for young children. Listener discretion is advised. Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, along with my dad, Dr. James Dobson, and our co-host, Dr. Meg Meeker, and I am so excited about our guest in the studio with us today. It is a pleasure to have with us Victor and Eileen Marks. Victor has one of the most incredible testimonies I've heard, and you will be amazed about what God has brought this man through.
You know, Ryan, I'm a lifelong teetotaler, so it'll be strange for me to mention a beer commercial. But but there is a commercial called Dos Equis,
yeah.
and it features the most interesting
the man in the world. Yeah.
It's not the guy on the commercial. It's this man.
Yeah.
And it is such a pleasure to have you, Victor and Eileen.
Thank you. You've
done a radio program with us before. I was gone at the time. But you are a busy man. You got a lot going on. And Eileen, you go with him shoulder to shoulder, don't you?
I do when I can, yes, when our kids are willing to let me go.
And you're a mother of five.
Yes.
Yeah. And Victor, give us the shortest version of how you came from your childhood to what you're doing today.
Yeah. You know what? I'm motivated to help reach kids who've been abused or neglected, because that is the background I came from, a father who was a drug dealer and a pimp that rejected me when my mom was actually pregnant. And I would go to 14 schools, 17 houses. My mother would marry six times. But as a child, because of the instability of the home, I ended up becoming abused. Tortured is the word. And then I was left for dead in a commercial cooler at 5 years old. So from that background, it caused, you know, I mean, I feel and understand what kids who go through troubles, really severe troubles, do.
Now, you know, as a psychologist and a person whose life has been children, I would say that most people who went through that in the first 5 years would be severely warped and damaged and non-functional and abusers on their own right. And Eileen, this is a good man, isn't he?
He's a good man.
And he cares about people. He cares about his family.
Hey, I forgot
to mention that Dr. Meg Meeker is with us on the phone. We see her here in the screen.
Yeah.
And you have been reading about Victor and about his work. And when I walked in the studio, you had just seen something. What'd you see?
Well, it's great to be with you. I feel very honored to be with you, Victor. I was looking at a lot of Victor's self-defense teachings, and I think they're wonderful. So I was sort of pretending for a moment that I was as good as you were, but it wasn't really working.
We can train you.
Yeah. Ryan, you showed me a video of Victor taking a gun out of somebody's hand.
He has the world record for the fastest gun disarm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. In fact, he was here doing devotions and did it to our producer, Daniel. We should post that video on our Facebook page because I like watching it over and over again.
Victor, you live with danger, don't you?
A little bit. My wife says my risk meter has been broken. And but, you know, we're excited to do what we feel like God is calling us to do. It's not necessarily the easiest, but it's the best. And you know, we both sit here, married 26 years, five children, and we're saved. We're born again. He's given us new life, and we've walked with him for the better part. I mean, because we both just got saved before we got married. So.
And you're in God's hands.
Oh, completely.
You do get death threats.
Yes, sir. Yep.
And there are people looking for you.
Sure. You, of all people, know if you stand up for righteousness and what God's word declares, you're going to get people who hate you. You know, for us, it's extremists from ISIS down to people who even call themselves Christians who will stand up against us because of what we believe and what we declare. And we want to live according to the Bible.
Well, I went through some of that when I was on the both the Gambling Commission and the Pornography Commission, and especially the Pornography Commission. Those people are vicious. I'm telling you, they are vicious.
Anybody who takes that extreme position for what they believe is right, you know, will go after anybody who opposes them with any voice.
Well, that was the toughest 18 months of my life, without question. And I live with it today, you know, that the things I saw and learned there are still there. So I understand a little. I don't want to say that I have walked the road you have, because it is incredible what you have done. Your organization is called ATP,
right,
which stands for All Things Possible.
Yes, sir.
All right. Tell me a little bit about that.
There's three areas that we really focus on. Our primary is reaching at-risk, troubled, abused youth, and it carried over into those who are being trafficked. And then we reach and help those who have suffered from trauma and deal with the effects of PTSD, you know, post-traumatic stress. And then the third area is what we call high-risk missions work, which takes us into uncomfortable areas that not a lot of people want to go into, but the need is so great that it provides a wonderful opportunity to be a light.
Now, last February,
yes,
you went into a war zone in northern Iraq,
yes, sir,
and Eileen, you went with him.
Yes, I did.
Wow. Did you get permission to do that?
We did.
From whom?
From the Kurdish government. They actually requested us.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't like them either.
Right.
In fact, ISIS and the Kurds are at war with each other.
Constantly. The Kurdistan Regional Government actually invited us through a friend to bring a team of trauma specialists to help reach and then bring hope and healing to girls specifically that had been captured, abused, tortured by ISIS.
Right, we read a little bit about that,
yep,
but it's for real.
It's unbelievable. No matter what you read and hardly what you see, to go there, to touch, smell, feel, to have all of your senses inundated. You know, my second trip there this year, which I just got back, I actually looked into the eyes and held the hands of an 8-year-old girl who had just been home 4 days from being held captive by ISIS for a number of months.
Was she sexually abused?
Yeah, she suffered so much so that our staff, you know, some of our teammates who were there said, why is she smiling? Why is she so happy? I said, well, it's two reasons. One, the reality is she's not there. And two, she's dissociated. Her mind is broken. She hasn't regrouped. Mm. She can't even process. And then she'll go through all the stages where they'll live in fear of ISIS coming back and getting them, because some of the camps for refugees and IDPs are so close to the fighting, you can hear the gunshots. Mm. They hear it at night, and which causes distress beyond what's imaginable.
Dr. Meeker, as a pediatrician, you can't imagine what that child went through.
You know, we see abuse in the United States, but you're talking really about a different scale because of the intensity and the long period of time that it happens over. You're talking about the trauma of being kidnapped. I assume somebody comes into these children's homes, takes them out of their home and takes them somewhere and tortures them for months and at a time. Is that right?
That's exactly what happens. When ISIS invaded northern Iraq, they just did wholesale capturing of what the girls would typically see is their father shot, killed, or beheaded, the mother taken, siblings taken, and then they use them like cattle, and they separate the kids and the girls, and they'll take those who think will bring the highest return for selling them into the sex slave. But what people don't understand, they're also using them as a marketing tool to recruit new fighters from all over the world. They say, you come and fight, we'll give you a bride.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Oh my goodness.
It was kind of a silly question, but I was thinking, why would they do that? Because the families were killed. And, you know, what was their purpose in using them? Because usually they use them as a bargaining tool or something, but just to wantonly abuse 8-year-old girls for no other reason. So they do it to recruit other people.
That's right. Right now, they've deemed, according to their approach to extreme Islam, that 5 years old and older are eligible for rape with girls. And the thing that shocks most people is, you know, we've shown videos. Most people think the kids over there, the girls over there, you know, we just kind of make them look a certain way in our mind. Right. But the reality, the most abused group of people are the Yazidis. And these girls have blue eyes, red hair, blonde hair, dark skin. They vary. It's not what people think. We show
Isn't
it.
That sad?
When you start to diminish the sanctity of human life,
mm-hmm.
it the wheels fall off.
They do.
And well,
now it
and
comes
we're
out
here.
That Planned Parenthood yeah. is selling body right. parts. Yeah. Oh. I mean, around the world, this is what we're being known for.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You have so demeaned the value of life that anything is possible, and the American people have come to accept it. You know, you mentioned, Ryan, the Planned Parenthood thing, where they're actually extracting hearts and livers and body parts and selling them. And you got people defending that out there, even Planned Parenthood defending that there's some purpose in it. We've come to the point where nothing shocks us. One of the things that really bothers me is that the American people seem to disconnect from what's going on in the Middle East.
Oh, sure.
You know, the pictures of all those men about to be beheaded that are Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And we just go on with life.
Well, it's the frog in the kettle. You know, you put a frog in there and you slowly turn up the water, and he's just swimming around. It gets a little warmer. He's not worried about a thing. But then before long, the water's boiling and the frog is dead.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened here in the U.S. But to go there to see it, speaking of men being killed, you know, me and my team, we sat in a thatched hut with just women, predominantly women. And there's one little boy, he's 13 years old. And I actually put a picture of him on my Facebook. He is the last remaining male survivor of his entire family bloodline.
Mm.
His father, his uncles, his brother, everybody has been captured and killed because they're tribal. And he's the only one left. And as heartbroken as I was and shocked and stunned, I'm still grateful to God that he had brought us there so that I could look that boy in his eyes.
Well,
and pray for
let's
him.
Get more detail
yeah.
on that.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to go to Iraq? You got plenty of work to do
plenty.
Right here. They abuse kids all over the place today.
Sure.
And you went over there at some risk, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Eileen, you went with him.
Yes.
And what did you expect to see and do there?
Well, you know, here in the U.S., we've been reaching troubled, abused youth in juvenile prisons all over the country, foster care, and we're actually in 700 facilities and places that, with either our book, film, or me speaking. So we know we've made impact here. There's still plenty of work to do. But when we got a clarion call to go overseas in the worst area, really, in the world right now, with what's going on, large-scale war zone, ISIS attacking, kids being kidnapped, girls being brutally, you know, the worst of the worst. One girl had got raped 30 times before lunch.
Goodness. Oh, come on.
And they were praying, these girls were praying that the coalition bombers would hit the building they're in mm-hmm. so that they would die. That's how bad it is. And when we were given the opportunity to go over and try to impact and help specifically girls who were captured, abused by ISIS. At first, I was like, Lord, this is too much. This is too much. And it was actually my wife that said, is it? You need to pray. And we prayed, and it was him with his grace and his love expanding our heart to want to go really where and do what he would do. I think that's the easiest way to say it.
I tell you, I would never be the same, and maybe you won't either.
We aren't.
But mm-hmm. the trauma of seeing that, I
the man, collateral wow, damage.
Yeah.
I mean, it's real. Which, you know, we debrief our teams, and but it gets next to you. And
are those kids any of them Christian?
Yes, there's groups of Christians that are staggeringly affected. There's groups of Muslims, and then there's Yazidis. So anywhere from Syria into Iraq, the main areas that this is going on, there's large scale. I mean, there's genocide. There used to be 1.8 million Christians in Iraq. They're down to 300,000. And we were able to visit not only with the victims.
So more than a million Christians murdered.
Well, either murdered, captured, killed, sold, or they've fled across the borders. Yeah. But it is absolutely genocide. That's what they're going for. But we've been able to reach and meet some of the top leaders of the Kurdistan government. Mm.
Victor, when you go into places and you meet these young people, where do you start?
Yeah.
Where do you start?
Well,
you
know, you're there.
I would even have a hard time saying, hello, I'm here in Christ's name. Jesus loves you, because they'd look at you going, yeah. So please, where do you start?
You know, it's a great question. Let me use this because I just came from it. We pull up to a camp. We have our teams, our vehicles. We get out. You know, one camp could have 80,000 people in it. I mean, it's the size of a city, but they're all tents. And we get out. We had some of our teams start handing out toys or candy. And then the kids, I mean, literally, it becomes an uncontrollable mass because there's nothing for them, right? So you're kind of dealing with that. But for me, the first person, because we have local assets, brought me into a tent and said, you've got to meet this one family and a girl. We go in, and there's this girl laying down. She's, I think she's 14 years old, and she's severely disfigured from being burned. Oh. And she's laying there, and what had happened is because they had to flee their home, their city, moved to these refugee camps. She was cooking and was filling up a kerosene little stove, and it exploded in her face. And I'm going, oh, my goodness. And the father sitting there, and it's real. I mean, you're right here, and it's because of ISIS. And I said,
there's no hospital for a situation like that.
It's a distance. They don't have one there. But she's suffering, and they have on medicine and whatnot. They showed me a picture of her before, 4 months ago. This happened just 4 months. Show me a picture of her. Beautiful. It's actually on my Facebook page. Beautiful girl. And I looked at her, and I looked past all the burn. And she's still beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I told her, you sure are beautiful, girl. And you sure are tough. And
did she relate to you?
Oh, yeah.
Did she smile at you?
She did.
Hey, tell us about the little girl we started with here. What'd you say? How do you open a conversation?
You know, there's nothing that textbooks can teach you. You just go and you just love them. There's the girl right there.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't she beautiful?
You know, you don't try to fix them. You just try to love them.
Yeah.
Because the trauma is so extreme.
Thank you.
Are they, you know, you're a big dude. Are they afraid of you as a man when men have done such terrible things?
You know what? Typically they are, but God has somehow granted me favor where, you know, I think sometimes he looks through my eyes at them and they relax. Because, you know, the Bible says the Holy Spirit's in us. So if he's in us, then certainly he can look through her, and it makes them calm. And it's the one thing we've heard pretty consistently. But, you know, this story about the girl who was burned, which just absolutely is so encouraging, is we found out their need. They couldn't get the operation she needed. And I said, well, I feel like God has sent us here to help y'all. It's a small little tent the size of this room, you know. And I said, I'll be back tomorrow. And when I came back the next day, our staff from the main, you know, we had money wired because it was cash that they needed. I walked into the tent and started laying out the money on the little dirt floor. And they were shocked. And the father, humble, non-greedy, just overwhelmed. And he said, my daughter couldn't sleep all night because she was so excited that you would come. And she asked him, do you think he'll really come back?
Ugh.
And you know what? the one thing we hear again and again, organizations go there, big organizations, but all they do is talk. Nobody, very few, do things that really help. So we figure the best way we can do is love them, hear their need, and meet a felt need. So we did. So now she's going to be able to get two surgeries to open up her, you know, ears that were melted.
Did you tell her that Jesus loved her?
Absolutely. We said this money right here is from Christians in America that love you. And we're here because Jesus loves you. That's why we came. And you know what? Honestly, you don't even have to tell them that because
they know it.
They I just got a letter from the Father and I posted it on the Facebook page. That's it. And basically he was just saying for you to come from so far away into our little tent and bring hope and love. I mean, he just goes on. It's very encouraging. So yeah, you know, there's and people are getting saved. You don't have to, in our traditional Western way, try to convert or proselytize. Mm-hmm. The Lord does it.
Victor and Eileen, you know, we see the atrocities that are being committed by ISIS that are happening there. It's all over the media. It's all over Facebook. You can see it on YouTube. And we know what's going on. Knowing that, why are so many young people so quick to leave their families and join ISIS? I mean, you've got Americans that see this horror show, and yet somehow that message doesn't sink in, but the message, I need to go and support this, does. What is going on?
You know what? One of the most asked questions, and a great question, because how do you get your mind around it? The problem is not ISIS. The problem is evil, and that's what we're fighting. We're fighting the powers of darkness. That's what the Word of God declares in Ephesians. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. ISIS, the evil that they're doing, they're being carried out by evil, demonic, I think for many of them, spirits that infiltrate these people, and they do the most unspeakable. So the war is light against darkness in whatever realm, but that's what pulls them. That's why it's so important for us here in the U.S. or anywhere we go to be a light.
I have a friend that's an ER doc in the military, and he was serving in Afghanistan for a couple of tours. And he came back and said, the only thing that will save this area in the world is Jesus.
That's it.
That's the only thing that's going to change it. Nothing else is working except that. You know, this is a guy who's been to war. He's in the military. That's his job. That's what he chose to do. And he came home and said, I can't believe I think this. I can't believe I'm saying it. But the only thing that's working is Jesus.
My goodness. I would like to have you let our listeners know how they can get in touch with you or how they can get to your website. Anything you want to say there, because we would like to help you.
Thank you. You know what? Christians have an opportunity not to feel powerless or helpless anymore, but they really have an opportunity to reach and make a difference during this time, because there's never been a greater time in, you know, the Middle East with such upheaval for Christians to go in and be a light. They can go to our website, victormarks.com, that's Marks with an X, or atpministries.org. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to provide aftercare for girls who are rescued. That's one of our projects. There are orphans right now that need absolute care. And we've been asked by the government, would y'all be willing to help sponsor
what
orphans?
What government? Our government?
No, negative. The Kurdistan government, the KRG. But yet they're allowing us to come in and control all the funding. So it doesn't have to go through any
of
them.
Do you see evidence of American government helping out?
Well, no. I can tell you what I've seen because I've been on the front lines. I've been so close to ISIS, I've seen their flag flying, their black flag flying. And the sad reality is if our administration would simply allow larger weapons to be given to the Kurdish fighters, the Peshmerga, it would change the course of it all.
It won't help them.
And I've met with the interior minister, generals, and they're all scratching their head going, why?
We're really out of time. Okay. We're going to pick up right here next time.
Definitely.
Okay. Thanks for being with us, for what you're doing. We didn't mention it, but you've been back to Iraq now for a second trip.
Correct.
In 1 year.
Yes.
We want to hear about it.
Yeah. Thank you so much
You
for
bet.
Coming.
What a privilege.
Thanks, Victor. Thanks, Eileen.
You betcha, Ron.
And for those of you who'd like to get involved and help Victor and Eileen Marks minister to the little boys and girls who have been ravaged by ISIS, there is a great opportunity to do that through something they're calling the Lion and Lamb Initiative. The children in northern Iraq who have been raped, abducted, or seen their families killed in front of them suffer from PTSD. As a result, Victor and Eileen have created stuffed animals, specifically lions and lambs, that are not only cute and cuddly, but they play soothing music as well as share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think about that. These kids who have escaped tyranny will be able to not only enjoy peaceful music that helps them sleep, but their only toy will also lead them to the Prince of Peace. Visit victormarx.com. Again, that's victormarx.com. Or visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org because we have the link there as well. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Thank you for listening today. And we'll see you again right here next time for part two of our interview with Victor and Eileen Marks on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.